Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI reflects on the mystery of the Transfiguration and concludes saying that Jesus is the light that never goes out. Building a New World is the title of a new initiative at the Pontifical Gregorian University, celebrating 30 years from the founding of the university's Centre for Interdisciplinary Studies and involving students, professors and film-loving citizens of Rome. Pope Benedict XVI on Sunday reflected on the Feast of the Transfiguration and encouraged children to learn about Jesus, about the Church, and about the sacraments. As Lydia O'Kane reports, the Pope's words came on the second Sunday of Lent, a day he began with a visit to a Roman parish.
On the second Sunday of Lent, Pope Benedict began his day with a visit to the Roman parish of John the Baptist de la Salle, south of the capital. The Holy Father celebrated Mass and met parishioners, including a group of children.
Per me è una grande gioia vedere tanti bambini, allora Roma vive e vivrà anche domani.
He told them to learn about Jesus, the things he did, said, and how he suffered. He also told them to learn about the Church and the sacraments. Sunday the 4th of March is also the Feast of the Transfiguration, and on his return to the Vatican, Pope Benedict focused on this event during his Angelus address.
In today's Gospel, Jesus transfigured and shows his disciples that his passion will lead to the resurrection.
The Pope explained to those gathered in St. Peter's Square that there are essential elements involved when Jesus is transfigured before the apostles. They are the light and the voice, the divine light that shines on the face of Jesus and the voice of the Heavenly Father who speaks to him. The Holy Father went on to say that with the mystery of the Transfiguration, Jesus is being directed toward the fulfillment of his mission, knowing that in order to attain resurrection, he will undergo suffering and death on a cross. The Pope also explained that Jesus takes his friends with him to the mountain because he wants to give them the most intimate experience of this light dwelling in him, so that after this event, he will be their inner light and will be able to protect them from the assaults of darkness. Jesus is the light that never goes out, said Pope Benedict.
Gesù è la lampada che non si spegne mai.
Following the recitation of the Angelus, the Pope spoke to the faithful in a number of languages. In English, the Holy Father expressed the hope that those sacrifices made during Lent would lead people to experience a renewal of the light of Christ.
Thanks there to Lydia Kane for that report. Building a New World is a close enough translation of Un Mondo Nuovo da Costruire, the title of a new initiative taking place from Friday the 2nd of March at Rome's Pontifical Gregorian University. The project, organised by the Greg's Interdisciplinary Centre for Social Communications, with the contribution of city authorities, focuses on film and on the power film has to involve, to communicate, to pass on a message, capture the imagination, and speak of spiritual, social, and human issues. As Jesuit Father Lloyd Bao told me, the initiative, which kicked off on March the 2nd, foresees four encounters, ending on May the 4th, and celebrates the 30th anniversary from the foundation of the university's Centre for Interdisciplinary Study, of which he is part. But first, I asked him, tell me about yourself.
My name is Lloyd Baugh. I'm a Canadian Jesuit. I've been living in Rome and teaching at the Gregorian for 28 years. Anyway, I teach. I move between theology and social communications and specifically film studies. And we have a kind of unofficial project going to work on in the university. It's actually a formal project in the university to instill a dimension of interdisciplinary study in all our courses. And I'm one of the people who has been doing it. So in my courses, we do theology using film texts. So Christology through the Jesus films, moral issues through the Decalogue of Kieślowski, interreligious dialogue through a whole series of films from different religious traditions. So
I'm sure you're not lacking in students.
Well, no. No, it's great. It's great. What's also good is that they're optional courses in theology, but students come from philosophy and social communications and Beni Culturali della Chiesa and theology, obviously. So there's a nice kind of interdisciplinary dimension in the courses. I should also say that our rector, Rettore Magnifico, Father Dumortier, is really behind this theology and film, spirituality and film, moral issues and film idea. So we've begun the project with specific activities this year outside the classroom.
Do your students get to actually make films in any way?
Some of the students in social communications in our program, which is the program that is celebrating its 30th year of existence, they do not actually films, but videos. So video films, yes, as part of their courses. It's a dream I have, of course, someday to make a film. Anyone who teaches cinema sooner or later wants to make a film or work on a film, but so far, nothing.
Well, I have to ask you, what would you say is the film that represents you?
Well, I'd love to work on some films with Ermanno Olmi, the Italian director. His recent film, Villaggio di Cartone, The Cardboard Village, is a very, very, very powerful film. I did my doctoral thesis in theology, in fundamental theology, a few years ago. Let's leave it at a few years ago, on Ermanno Olmi's first 8 films. And I would love to work with him. I would love to work with Mark Dornford May, who made this film on the gospel in the South African context. I would like to work with Martin Scorsese. I don't agree with many of his positions, don't quite match my positions, but he's an extremely dynamic filmmaker. I'd like to work with the Dardenne brothers. I want to work with
him. Did you like Hugo Cabret?
Yes, I loved it. But I was really surprised by the shift in style and in content. And people say, oh, well, it's a children's film. It's much, much more than a children's film. It's all about cinema. It's his kind of love song to cinema. And he's a very interesting man, Scorsese, because he's troubled with a lot of issues, as we should all be, and he's got a very specific style of his own, and he's also troubled by religious issues. He was brought up a Catholic, and he struggles with that, in a way, as we all should. He asks questions.
Okay, so to the initiative that starts on Friday afternoon, it's actually a cycle of films dedicated to a very topical issue, which is a new reality, a globalized world, immigration. Can we talk about that?
Yes, a little bit of background. The Center for Communications, Centro Interdisciplinare sulla Comunicazione Sociale, is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. And we wanted to do something a little different from the usual one-day formal atto accademico with people from outside coming in to talk. And so we decided to do a 4-part series using film, which is one of the areas that we work on in social communications, and putting together for each film a professor and either one or two students. And as much as possible, in fact, for all 4 films, one of the people commenting, and sometimes two, are from the part of the world where that film was made and where the issue brought up by the film, examined by the film, is a burning issue. We decided to do this in the late fall, and it's in a way, it was this idea of doing 4 films as a single project follows on the heels of 3 events we did in the fall. Encouraged, I mention again, encouraged by Father Dumortier, the rector, to do an event, theological, philosophical, moral, sociological, in the university, a formal event using a film, using the screening of a film as the central element, and bringing together professors, 2 in some cases, 3 in other cases. So we did this 3 times during the fall using the Tree of Life, Va, Vie et Devient for the Day of Remembrance. And the first one was Of Gods and Men, Uomini di Dio. Very, very good reaction. Those were done in the evenings. And we brought in all kinds of people came. Students came, professors came. And for the first time, people from the community of Rome came. We had a contingent from La Sapienza, through a couple of people I know there, who put up two or three posters, and people came.
They're all in original language, your films, aren't they?
As much as possible, we try to respect the culture that produced the film, and we try to respect the fact that we're showing the film in Italy. So as much as possible, we show the films in the original language with Italian subtitles. In a couple of cases, in one case, we had to use English subtitles, but it didn't seem to have a major effect, because if the English is written, people whose mother tongue is not English can still kind of follow. But it's obvious, it was obvious to the rector and obvious to me and the others organizing this activity, that it was working. And the interesting issue, I said we bring professors together. They're always professors from different faculties who kind of sponsor the event. So we have an interdisciplinary event, and the discussion is even interdisciplinary. So I speak about the films from the point of view of film studies, stylistic issues, structural issues, the soundtrack, the music. A theologian will say, well, now the moral issues in this film are, and someone from spirituality will say, well, this is how you can pray about this film and reflect on it. And so it's on the heels of those very successful, from our point of view, three events that we organize this event, which has four films, which follows more or less the structure of the previous events, except for the first evening, because we have the rector and Archbishop Celli, who is the president of the Pontifical Commission for Communications, and a gentleman from the Orlando Corsetti, Onorevole Orlando Corsetti, from the Municipio Roma Centro Storico, who sponsored the activity with a very generous donation.
That's amazing in this time of such economic hardship.
Well, I think we made a good case with the Comune that this is, one, it's open to everyone. It's not an event closed in the university. And it should be of interest to everyone, because the issues are issues that should be issues for the city of Rome and for the country of Italy and for any country.
Is it free?
It's free. Well, when we do it ourselves, without the help of the City of Rome, the generous help of the City of Rome, one of the motives for bringing together professors is that then we can go to the dean of that faculty or department and say, can you give us 30 euro to prepare the posters? I mean, we are on a very limited budget, but we have ways and means to work within the budget, and I think that's important, to work within a budget, but...
It sounds very interesting. I'd love to come. Can you tell me a little bit about the films themselves?
Right.
The only one I know, as I mentioned to you, is Welcome. If I'm not mistaken, it's about the young boy who learns to swim. Am I right?
But it's also, interestingly enough, it's the original title of a film made in France by a Frenchman.
Where do you want to go? England.
England.
Very powerful film about the burning issue of immigration, legal immigration, illegal immigration in Europe, but an issue all over the world. But since the opening, Noblesse Oblige, the opening, we are in Europe, we are in Italy, where, of course, immigration is a major issue. And so we decided to use this film. It's a wonderful film about a chance meeting between a middle-aged Frenchman who he's a teacher of an instructor at a swimming pool, a civic swimming pool in Calais, whose life is kind of, he's a bit of a down and outer. His wife has left him. He's unhappy. He's depressed. He doesn't seem to have any future except the run-of-the-mill things that he does every day. And by chance, he meets a young Kurd who has illegally come all the way across Italy and arrived at Calais and has an urgent need to get over to England. So Calais to Dover.
Want to learn to swim?
Yes. Cool.
Where are you from?
Iraq, sir. Kurdistan.
You know that only good swimmers can cross the channel?
And the water is too cold and the current is too strong.
Why do you want so much to go there?
Because his fidanzata, the woman he loves, the young woman he loves, is in England, and she's about to be married off by her father. and she doesn't want to marry the man she's being told to marry, so he has an urgent need to get to England. And of course he tries in trucks and various ways, and he can't. And he sees this swimming instructor and asks him, doesn't ask him, he says, "You have to teach me how to swim." And the instructor says, "Why?" And he says, "Well, I have to swim across the channel." And the instructor says, "Well, I'm sorry, you can't do that. It's not feasible." And he does teach him how to swim. I won't tell you the ending. But through their connection, and that's where the important symbolic issue comes up, an illegal immigrant, young, meets a tired old European man, and in that meeting, the European finds a new lease on life, discovers things about himself and about the world and about other people that are a kind of redemptive experience for him.
Very powerful. Even water has a yes. powerful yeah. symbolic value, and I see water is the title of your second theme. Yes. Shall we call it a theme?
Water is an Indian film, so it's an Indian made in India by an Indo-Canadian woman. Actually, I take that back. It was such an explosive issue in India that when they began the production, they were told to leave India. The Indian authorities did not want this film to be made in India, so the film was actually made in Sri Lanka. The issue is a burning women's issue, not only in India, but in many parts of the world, where young women, young girls, as young as 5, 6 years old, little girls, are married off, in quotation marks, are promised in marriage to an older man. And they're still living with their family, but according to traditions, they are married to that other man. If he dies, even though the little girl may be 6 years old or 7 years old, she's officially a widow and has to go and live away from her family and away from activity. She can't marry, she has no civil rights, and she has to go live in a house for widows in a community for widows. And the film is a story of a little girl who is, at the beginning of the film, torn away from her family and brought to the city and inserted in a community of, quote, widows, unquote, some young, some old. And it's about the injustice, obviously, of that terrible business, women whose liberty, whose freedom to live and be happy and live the way they want to live and marry whom they want to marry, is taken away. Women without freedom, women without liberty. So it's really a film about liberty. And it has universal significance. And I think it will be appreciated. The interesting there is we have three Indians talking about the film. The professor, who is Indian, and two Indian sisters who have worked with women in this situation. So they know it firsthand.
Shocking. I follow gender issues, and I didn't know of this reality.
Yeah. Jacob Schrampikel told me this morning that they suspect that as many as 40% of India still follows that tradition. Probably not in the major big cities, but perhaps even there in the peripheral villages, and certainly in the countryside in the villages, that's still happening. But it's happening elsewhere too, and we know that. The third film, do you want to talk about
Absolutely.
The third film?
Let's go on to the third film.
We build it as coming from Les Americas, the Americas, North and South. It's set in Mexico. It's made by an Argentinian or a Chilean, I'm not sure, Rodrigo Pla. He may be Chilean. And it's a story about the incredible gulf in many major cities of Latin America, but of North America and all over the world, between rich and poor. So it's a question of justice, the right to justice, the right to a just portion of the world's resources for those who have no possible chance. It's set in a so-called protected neighborhood, private neighborhood, and they have a kind of wall, high wall, built around it with barbed wire and alarm systems and closed-circuit TV to keep the world out. And the world outside is a slum, a terrible, terrible slum. And yet these people, and they are gente per bene, good people, the finest people you would ever want to meet, fine, upstanding citizens, live in there and protect themselves from reality. They're living in a kind of bubble. In a rainstorm, a terrible rainstorm one night, a pole, an electrical pole, falls over on the wall and allows three young men to enter the zone.
Entraron a robar. Mataron a Mercedes. Está en el suelo. La estrangularon.
Eran tres.
¿Estás segura?
Segura. Falta uno.
The alarm goes out, of course, because the closed-circuit cameras pick them up. The community musters a group of vigilantes who go out with guns and shoot them, shoot two of the three of them. So the third young man, a young adolescent, 17, 18 years old, is hiding inside the zone, and he can't get out, and they're after him, like beasts, like jackals. By chance, he meets a young man who is celebrating his 18th birthday, son of very rich parents. And at first, the boy is shocked, and then decides to protect his other, the other, his mirror image.
¿Dónde estás? Dime dónde estás.
En la zona.
And it's really, ultimately, it's not only about issues of justice and poverty. It's also about a profound transformation that takes place, transformation of hope, that takes place in the young man from within the zona, who at the end leaves the zona. Again, I'm not going to reveal the end of the film. That wouldn't be fair. But it's very, very, very powerful.
Interesting also the storm, which is could be seen as an act of God. It's a natural event that creates this situation.
It's interesting. At the beginning of the film and at the end of the film, we see the reality of the zone, the beautiful streets, the perfectly groomed lawns, the beautiful houses, the cars, the people playing tennis. We see them all. We see all of this activity. People jogging in perfectly fashioned jogging suits, but always within the zone. We see all of that from the point of view of the young man who eventually changes at the end, celebrating his 18th birthday, and he's sitting inside a car. He's driving to his home through the streets of the zona, and he's got the windows closed, and we don't hear the outside world. It really gives you the creeps, and that's exactly what it's meant to do, give you the creeps, because this is a very creepy world.
It's actually a situation that I know because I come from South Africa and there are a lot of compounds, we call them, yes. And it's exactly the situation you were describing. And that brings us to the fourth film, which is about South
African film. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful South African film from 2006. So it's a relatively recent film. It, Son of Man, is the title. It is an actualization, we in film studies call it an actualization of the gospel story. So it takes the story of the gospel from the Annunciation to Mary and all the way to the resurrection and maybe even Pentecost and places that biblical reality that we all know, but we're all used to hearing about it and thinking about it in terms of first century Palestine. He places it, the director places this gospel story smack in the middle of a, it's not a slum, what do you call them? It's
a township.
A township outside of Cape Town. Probably more than a million people living in that township, people living in houses made of pieces of tin and cardboard and plastic. And a world touched, deeply touched, profoundly touched, vitiated by violence.
Chaotic scenes in Judea as forces of the Democratic Coalition invaded settlements. Control of the country has been split between Herod's militia and the insurgents for several years.
Now, some of that violence is still in South Africa. Some of it was in South Africa. And some of it is still. I mean, the young man who is going to, the young Jesuit, who is going to be my co-presenter on that evening, is a Nigerian. And when I asked him if he would do this presentation with me, he's a wonderful guy, very bright, very articulate, And he said, I want to, he knew the film, and he said, I want to do it, especially because that's an issue in Nigeria right now, as we well know. Okay, violence, gun running, illegal importation of arms, struggle between one political group and another, slaughters of people. Works very well because we see about three slaughters of the innocents in the film. And they're not all babies, okay? It's a film that has a profound political empeño, a profound political commitment. The Jesus is a preacher of justice. It's in the Xhosa. Now, you could probably say that word better with the... go ahead, say it to them. The Xhosa language. With English subtitles. The music and the song is fantastic in the film. It's not kind of beautiful, symphonic, extra diegetical music that kind of lulls us to sleep. It's music made by the actors, made by the characters. So music and dance becomes a kind of proactive. It's a little bit like cheerleading in North America. Rah, 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 let's do something about this. So when there is a protest in the film, for example, when Jesus, quote, disappears, unquote, taken away by the authorities and beaten to death, because no one is crucified in South Africa today, people are beaten to death and they disappear. I've had Latin Americans tell me, well, that's happened in Chile and in Argentina, and it's happening, of course, all over. The music and dance is proactive. It allows people not only to express how they feel, but to get the strength to do something about how they feel. It's also a very, we called it Africa, the right to hope, because it's a world without hope. As long as violence reigns, the poor don't have hope. And the Jesus in the film, the Jesus of the film, is a Jesus who condemns especially violence. Personal violence, he obliges his disciples to give up their guns because some of them were urban guerrillas before, like some of Jesus' disciples were zealots, let's face it. He's also a Jesus who protests violently, protests strongly against the violence in the society, and who ultimately redeems that society by submitting to the violence. Very much parallel to the gospel story of Jesus. The Jesus in the film breaks the cycle of violence. So in the film, the original sin is kind of violence, which robs people's humanity, their right to justice, their right to freedom. By giving himself, submitting to the cross, submitting to death, he breaks that cycle of violence. And the ending of the film is a fantastic celebration of life and of freedom and of justice.
After this, I cannot but not come and see.
Okay. It's free, remember. It's free, and we'll give you a front row seat.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the initiative?
No, except that for people in the community who don't know where the Greg is or don't know what the Gregorian is, go to the internet and find out, and please come and join us. If people want to go to the internet, they can find our website. They can find a reference to the film under Eventi, and the schedule is there.
You have to book.
Oh, no, absolutely not. The Alemania seats 250 people.
You're listening to Vatican Radio's English program. Laudetur Jesus Christus.